turned that down. That's okay. Yeah, there we go. Hey, it's Hot and Cold Saturday morning. I'm Tom. You knew that. And it's another rain. I looked at my wife asked me last night about the weather. Is it going to rain this weekend? I said, yeah. And let me just double check, because I felt guilty telling her this, because it ain't good. If you're okay, so it's going to rain today, 80% today, 70% tomorrow. Monday, cloudy. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rain. I don't even know what to say anymore. I just don't get it. I mean, we need a big pipeline to send the water someplace where it should be, not here. We'll live through it. We always do. And it's beat snow. And the ice is out on Moosehead, so, it's springtime. Springtime in Maine. The black flies are going to love it. And so are the ticks. I mean, it's just going to be a good bug year. What can I say? Hopefully there's a lot of little critters that will eat them. We have a horde of turkeys around our house. And the boys are kind of strutting their stuff. You know, they got the fans open there to say, ladies, hello. And the ladies are just kind of ignoring them. And as the world turns. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. A lot of stuff. Been a busy, busy, busy week. I have touched banjos. I haven't built anything. Maybe I'll change that this weekend where it's going to rain, or next week even. But one thing I can tell you that I can share that's related to the banjos that may be of interest is we have our website up. It's not perfect, but I continue to just tweak it. You know, of all the things I don't want to do, house painting's up there. But above, I'd rather paint houses than work on websites. It's just so, you know, it's so arcane and so weird. And, you know, you people out there who write computer code, there's a special place for you. I'm not going to say what that place is, but man, it's been challenging. And I am working my way through it. And we do have some stuff up. And the website is Stockton Strings, not Springs, but strings.com. You can look it up. You can see some of my handiwork. I think at this point, only thing that's up there are instruments that I've put together. There will be some that are not put together with these hands. They will show up. But right now, as I start the website and start posting stuff, I really haven't made it that public yet. Prices are lower than they would normally be because I just got to get rid of some of these damn things. last weekend, you got to have good lighting to take pictures, take good video. And I had these video lights that used halogen bulbs, and I wanted to convert them to LEDs. So I did. I took them all apart, did the I have an amazing amount of tools. I had some chassis punches. You know, you can punch big diameter holes. So I used those to mount a regular socket, a screw-in socket. And then I found some very large LED bulbs to put in. So I've got this diffuse light setup, and kind of equivalent to what the halogens were, but about one-tenth the energy use, and a little bit different light, but it works well. So I've been taking pictures and changing things, and there's a lot of I take all these pictures. I get a full-on shot of a musical instrument, a banjo, and I look at it on the phone, look at it on the computer, load it into the website, and the top of the banjo is cut off. So I got to retake all those. There's only six or seven instruments up there. So I only have to retake those photos. But we'll get there. It's and the arcaneness of it will wear off. It's just one of those things, you know, something you don't do. But it is clunky. And it's 2025. We have had computers. We've had internet. We've had all this stuff for over, 30 years, right? Why are we still, why is this not a little bit more simple? We got the AI. I don't know. One of the things that was in the news this week was an interesting one. In Bangor, Bangor's Historic Preservation Committee is banging heads with a guy who lives on Broadway, actually lives right across the street from where I used to live. And he had a slate roof on his house, and the slate roof was failing and needed to repair or replace. And went before the Historic Preservation Commission, which is in the historic district, so you have to get approval before you do any renovation like that. And they said, no, you got to do slate again. And it was $200,000 to do the slate roof. Now, I lived across the street in a similar house with a slate roof, and I was able to nurse the slate along. That being said, you know, it could be his roof was worse. And at some point early on when I moved on to Broadway in the historic district, I had to go before the Historic Preservation Commission. And honestly, I was not impressed. You know, and these jobs are thankless jobs. It's a volunteer job. You don't get paid for it. And we had a major discussion about windows. And from my point of view, you know, windows, roofing are things you can change and change back again. Changing sizes of windows and doors and stuff, that's a different story. Now you're really modifying the building. But a roof can come on, a roof can come off. Windows can go in, they can come out. You know, it depends. It depends on the historic fabric of the building. Are these real original windows, or they've been a lot of times windows have been replaced before, so it's not necessarily a huge deal. But anyway, you know, we had I remember after that meeting, I got turned down, by the way, and one of the reasons I got turned down is there was a guy, and I won't say his name, but I'll never forget his name. He stood there, and what did he want to do? Oh, he wanted to put vinyl siding on a very impressive historic structure. And this was a building that shouldn't have vinyl siding on. I'm sorry. It just shouldn't. There's certain things you don't do. This was one of them. And he berated, he stood there and swore at the commission, and you know, that's not the way to gain favor with somebody, is just to be that. He was very adversarial. I was last on the agenda that night, and it was a long agenda. And I remember another one was somebody I knew had a building downtown who wanted to replace windows that abutted an alley. This was not the front facade, this back facade. The windows were falling apart. I'd actually seen the windows. And the woman who owned it was a doctor, professional person, you know, had some, you know, had to deal with a lot of things with people. And they brought her to tears. And then I got to go. I got turned down. I go home, and my heart is pounding. I don't think I fell asleep till about 3 a.m. But I just realized I'm going on. I got to take a break. Let's take a break, because there's more to this story. Ah, as there often is. Bureaucracy? Is that what it is? I don't know. Let's see what we got. We got some music, I think. Yeah, sure we do. Okay, we're back. Say 21 hot cold Saturday morning. Phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. So you know, I got turned down, and I was kind of wound up. Couldn't fall asleep. My heart's just pounding in my chest, and I at some point realized that I should be on the Historic Preservation Commission. I have a different slant to this. It's a balancing act between your rights as the owner of the property and doing the right thing and trying to strike a balance there. And so I got on the commission, and and there were people who would be upset, but after my first run, I came up for renewal, and I went, had to go before the city council, a couple of city councilors, and discussing it. And actually, the city councilor, I'm just realizing this now, the guy who owned this house prior, probably a couple owners before, the guy who has it now, was one of the city councilors and interviewed me. He said, "Tom, you know, I'm looking at the last year of Historic Preservation Commission. You approved everything." He said, "How is that?" I said, "Well," and I didn't know that, but it kind of made me step back for a second. I said, "You know, here's what we did. If somebody comes in and has a goofy plan to do something like put vinyl on a building that shouldn't be, we offer another idea. That's what we should be doing." But here's the thing. Going back to now, to moving back up to 2025, here's a guy comes in, house has, maybe his house is worth $500,000. That's kind of the ballpark number, even if it's 600K. As a matter of fact, my house across the street is currently for sale for around that. Not the house I live in now. I sold it for a lot less. I'd love to have sold it for 600. That would have been a good day. But anyway, so the house, let's say the house worth $600,000. $200,000 for a roof is a lot of money. Now, everything's gone up. Dealing with slate roofing is, I'll call it a nightmare. It's a lot of work. It's heavy work. It's challenging, and it takes a long time. So I don't think the number is too out of sight. Well, back in my day when we were on the commission, if somebody came in and said, "Okay, you know, I've got a repair cost to my structure that's going to cost me a third of the value of the house, and I just don't have that money." You know, who has 200 grand to do a slate roof? That's a challenge. I mean, if you do, that's fantastic. But if you have an economic issue here for something that is not, it changes the texture of the house, the way the house looks a little bit. But the roof is going to come off in 20 or 30 years. It's going to be redone again. We made that allowance. If somebody had an economic burden, we would make that we would make that concession, if you will. And again, it's you can reverse that. But, you know, we have to be realistic. Do we save the structure, or do we dig in and say, "No, you just, if you can't fix the roof, tough." Well, that's not going to work. That's not the way it should work. And we have to try to keep these are not inexpensive properties to maintain. There's always something rotting. There's always something leaking. And honestly, when on my house, there were slates that had, my house had not been maintained well when I bought it, which was, I don't know, 92, something like that. And I had to learn how to do slate roof. At the time, there was a guy in Bangor, Walter Musson, who has since passed away. He's a great guy. He was Bangor Slate, and he did everybody's roofs. I could never get him to come to the house because he was so busy. So I said, "Well, I'll deal with it." And if you take a look at the house, you can look at it online. You don't have to go drive down Broadway. It's 201 Broadway, where I used to live. And the major maintenance I had to do on that roof, most of the slates were in fairly decent condition, especially on the main house. but they had capping, you know, on the top, the ridge. And it was pieces of tin, and it was original, and it had two nails and tar. And the pieces were about 3 feet long. They hung out over the shingles, maybe 7 inches, 8 inches, something like that. They were gone. They had to be replaced. And I mean, it's there was a lower roof I could do, and I did that. That was easy. The upper roof, which is 3.5 stories up, I did. And I have blocked it, but I somehow got up on that roof and I straddled it. It's like a 12-12 roof. And I'm up, you know, real high. And I think what I did, and it's been so long. I apparently have blocked it because it was so traumatic. I think there was a lower roof and there was an attic window and then there was the main roof. I think what I did was got some kind of ladder on the lower roof, tied it to the house through the attic window and got up onto the main roof with, I think there were eight or 10 foot pieces of new capping. Was painted painted steel, you know, like metal roofing material. No, it was copper. Well, that's right. Because it was, you know, it's a slate roof. You use copper flashing. It was copper. And I'm straddling this roof. And I want to tell you, I was scared. You fill in the blank. I mean, I'm not afraid of heights. Now I'm nervous about heights because I know if I fall, I'm going to break everything. But even then, it was, 30 years ago, I was still probably brittle enough. I got up there, and I'm sliding the capping in between my legs. So I'm lifting myself up enough, which is scary as hell, really, and screwing down the roofing. And by the grace of God above, if you're religious, the Catholic school comes through in moments like this. I lived and got off that damn roof, but it was so high. And so, and really, you know, you the 12-12 roofs, fall protection I don't think it was around that much at that point. I occasionally would tie myself off with a rope. I didn't on this roof because I had nothing to tie off to in the moment, at least, or didn't think of it. And somehow I got it done. But so I'm kind of chagrined and surprised that the Historic Preservation Commission, who should be working with the people in town, didn't say, well, you know, this is an economic liability to you. You can do this or that, or, you know, let's look at options. Now, it may be they had that conversation. I don't know. I don't know if there's tapes of the meetings or not. It doesn't appear to be the case in looking at the articles I've read, but it's challenging for sure. And that holds true for any old house. But slate in particular is, I built a shed in the backyard. I had to go before my commission. I was on the commission at that point and put a roof on the shed. And they would only allow me, I was going to do metal. And we had a construction advisor who said, hey, I got slate, I can sell you. Oh, thank you. And it was a 12 by 12 building, a little shed. It did have a 12-12 roof pitch, but it was, you know, it wasn't that far off the ground. I want to tell you, it's one of the hardest jobs I've ever done in construction, is putting slate on that roof. And I did it very slow. It wasn't very big, but I had muscles I never knew I had that hurt. It was that strenuous a job. And I was close to the, I think I was working off a stepladder. And I had a ladder with a hook on it too as I went up the roof. But it was, and I was more physically active. It wasn't like I was some slug who didn't do anything. I was doing a lot of stuff back then. But I had a new kind of pain and sore muscles doing a slate roof. It's not a job for the faint of heart. Speaking of faint of heart, I'm going to give the phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. It's already time for another break. God, I talk too much.
It's the Saturday dance. Heard they crowded the floor. Couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore. Thought I'd visit the club. Got as far as the door. They'd have asked me about you. Don't get around much anymore. Oh, baby, I guess my mind's more at ease. Nevertheless, why stir up memories? Been invited on days. Might have gone, but what for?
All right, we're back. It is 8:36. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. We got the phone call. Let's see if we can make it work. There you go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, good morning, Tom. It's Rob Gordon. I'm calling from downtown Bangor, and I just wanted to say what a great show. I used to be on the commission, and it is very frustrating, to say the least, to have people come before you and with their wanting to renovate this or that, and you have to go by these guidelines and oftentimes turn them down, and really, it's a shame, because there are some things that they're doing that or want to do that really don't. Like you said earlier on the program, it's not really harming the structure. Like if you just change the window, you're not changing the opening per se. So these are things that the commission really needs to really think about deeply. I ultimately, unfortunately, had to resign because I had an elder parent that was ill, but I was so frustrated being on the commission, because it just was so preventing people from advancing the city, cleaning up the city, cleaning up the homes, and bringing back life. You know, that's a big thing.
Well, you know, the thing, at the time when I was on the commission, and granted it was a while ago, one fantasy I had was that we have obviously a lot of areas that are not historic districts but have historic houses that had just been boogered up over the years. The windows were in the 70s. Everybody thought, well, you make the windows smaller, we're going to save a lot of energy. And it wasn't really the case. And now the building looks stupid, or they put some crummy vinyl siding on it, and it just lost a lot of its historic character. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if there was a separate group entity within the city of Bangor that would help people maybe with financing, couple with a bank or Fame or somebody, to bring these buildings back.
Right. I almost bought a building with my parents on Broadway it might have actually been your home. It's up for sale again now. I don't know if that's the one.
The one with the big gardens?
Yeah, they were almost identical buildings side by side.
Yeah, that was my house. I didn't have the big gardens there, but that was the house.
Yes, and you know, it does become one of those things where you consider, oh God, you're in a historic area, and I own a building downtown, and I'm facing that. I know I'm going to have to go before the commission, and I need to have windows done. But it's amazing because the windows that were put in, they're all a mismatch now.
Yeah.
Some are vinyl, some are not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some have like this really old warbly glass in them, which is amazing. But it is tough. I will say that, and I agree with you 100%. That would be great if we could get some people involved in helping people, you know, restore these old buildings because they're worth the saving.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody's making those anymore.
They're
that's
not.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for your call.
Great talk.
Good talk to you.
Yeah,
take care now.
I love your show.
Okay, appreciate
all
it.
Right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you know, it. Here's the thing. Historic Preservation Commission, the first step should be to preserve the building intact to the degree that it's... And the thing that really bugs me, and I've seen it down where I live now, is historic buildings get torn down. So that's, to me, number one priority. And I know the State Historic Preservation Commission has a similar... concept. You know, they always put out a thing about buildings that are in peril. You know, they're going to fall down because they're not restored. A good example of this was the Bangor Waterworks. And back at that time, when I was on the commission, I was doing a TV show every year of the Bangor Waterworks in decay. And it was and literally from year to year, and I was 1 year apart, it wasn't that long, the level of destruction from just physical forces, because there were holes in the roof and stuff, was dramatic. And at one point, I think I was chairman of the commission at this point. And this got poo-pooed by the legal counsel real fast, but I wanted to summons the city of Bangor for not maintaining their property. Oh, that made a lot of that brought out a lot of fun stuff. But ultimately, somebody did put together a big plan to rehab the building. And priority number one is let's not lose the structure. We could change the use later on. We could do any number of things. The thing, and it was one of my last meetings, next to the last meeting before I moved out of town and could no longer be on the board, was the roof. It had a slate roof. I've talked about this before. I suggested they put a metal roof on. You do it once and you walk away. And the people who are doing the project said, we have to do asphalt. We can't afford metal. And the we accepted that concession at that time. One of my committee brethren, a retired military guy, was really upset with me because I said okay, and the majority voted for it to let them go ahead. The roof was a stumbling block for sure, and he was really upset. And I understand that. And he presented a letter to the commission, expressing his dismay at the next meeting. And I accepted it. I'm sorry. Do we lose the building, or do we get to keep the building? And somebody has to address the roof again in 25, 35 years, whatever it's going to, you know, whenever it happens. excuse me. The catch was this. The roof wasn't maintained. Obviously, they took the old roof off. Once they took that old roof off, they had a nightmare underneath. And that almost broke the project because the roof had gone that far, and they had to pinch every penny to get the structure back to, I believe they had to rebuild the whole roof just about on this structure. That's a big building if you look at it, and it's over the river. A lot of complications there, but you know, it's somewhat subjective. It shouldn't be. And if there's an economic, as I say, there's some things we really don't want to. We dig in our feet and we say, no way. There's other things that are gray areas. Windows and roof, to me, are a gray area. Let's see what we can do to make it work. Let's not be, you know, so stupid about this that we can't make something work for the person who owns the property. We want them to maintain it. We don't want to be like the city of Bangor 30 years ago. Okay, it was 30 years ago. It isn't that, not casting any aspersions now, but the city just didn't know what to do with the property, and it was a sin because it is quite an impressive structure. So, let's see. I know we had some messages here. Regarding the slate roof kerfuffle in Bangor, if the new roof is $200K, what does that represent in terms of the value of the house? 25% seems way out of proportion. Yes and no. Slate roof is not an easy thing to do, as I said. Having done little bits, not big amounts of slate roofing, what I've done, I've really come to appreciate. It's very laborious. Asphalt, you got to admit, is fast. And if the roof is leaking and things are starting to get messed up, in this particular residence case, the insurance company was involved because it's going to do damage to the structure that they're trying to insure. Okay, what else we got? Another message. Got a couple of messages. Let's see. Painted a former Woolworth residence in Monmouth. The homeowner was extremely excited when I told him I could repair the slates that are broken, missing on the roof, which I did. And, a slate repair is not that mysterious a science. 2025, you can get on YouTube, and I'm sure you can watch 25 people doing slate repair. You do have to have some specialty stuff. One thing I got, two slate tools I had. There was a slate, it was like a flat bar, but it was used for removing nails because they're hidden fasteners. And I had one of those. But the other tool I got that was really cool was a slate cutter. And I want to tell you, there's no more gratifying experience than cutting slate shingles with a slate cutter. I don't know what it's like, a big paper cutter, but it's built a little different so it can cut slate, and it would just do a nice clean cut on a piece of slate. You would think the slate would shatter and bust, and it just was. The old timers, they had this down to pretty good science, and it was fun to do that part. Cutting the slate, hauling it up on the roof, and doing it was not that pleasant. But anyway, text message, are you still taking Carnivora? I am. I'm not sure. I can't say there's any earth-shaking improvement especially in my allergy type stuff. I'm still going to give it a little more time. I'm not sure I can explain. I've got some doctor appointments this month in a couple of weeks. And I'm not sure I want to try to explain I'm taking Venus flytrap capsules to the doctors because they want you to tell them what you're taking. I tell them the vitamins, CoQ10 and magnesium, whatever. I'm not sure I want to explain the carnivora. I'm sure they already think I'm a little screwy. Some of the stuff that I've taken, it really hasn't worked out. I got 2 weeks, or I could stop for a week and then I don't have to explain it and then take it up again. But I'm not seeing results that are earth shaking. So for what that's worth, my friend Tom had a truck, a plow truck that he used where he lives down on the coast, and the frame gave up its ghost. It was 96 GM truck. I mean, it's a miracle that it lasted as long as it did, but he had to scrap it. So he called me and asked about trucks, and I offered him three trucks. I regret it now, but, and I'll tell you why in a second. I have a white 2012 Tundra I got with a plow. It's a Fisher Homesteader plow. So it's a plastic. The curvy part is plastic. The rest of it, of course, is steel. It's a lightweight plow. But I'm just plowing my driveway and work. And he just plows, his driveway. Then I also had gotten a 2010 Tundra with a big Boss plow. And I also had a Tacoma that was a 2011 Tacoma crew cab. And I threw some numbers at him. And he came over yesterday to look at the trucks. Now, I really like the white 2012 Tundra, the one that Pete said, I hope he doesn't take that one. And, of course, that's the one he wanted. And I had to, and then he remembered, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, I should probably, I should ask for more money. But he was a friend. He's done me many favors over the years. And he says, oh boy, I really like this one. And I'm like, oh, you, and I'm biting my tongue. But I said, okay, it's a couple little things I have to do. I said, I'll be ready beginning of the week. But like I said, he's a good friend. He gets the truck. So what I was thinking is a white, I don't know, it's just like a white pickup. I like white pickup truck. So I've got the other Tundra, which is silver. And I'm thinking, last night I'm looking and thinking, well, why don't I just paint that truck white? And then I'm thinking, Tundra's a big truck. There's a lot of masking involved. Do I want to be doing that? I might. I don't know. I've been thinking about it. And here's the thing. You know, if I have to do touch-up, I might use a spray can. You know, I get a single stage spray can, and it at best is fair, sometimes good, sometimes it's excellent, but usually it's in the fair to good range for touch up. And I know that. So I do get paint that I can spray with a spray gun. And I thought, this was about 2 or 3 years ago, I grabbed a Harbor Freight high velocity spray gun. It was like $15.99. And I thought, well, let's just give it a go. It was, you know, for $16, let's see how it works. And it worked well. And I've used it multiple times. And it's time for it to be replaced. Normal price is $20. I got it on sale, or I got some discount because I'm a member or some club of theirs, some stupid thing. And So I wasn't sure. I wanted to double check my settings. I got online. Everybody uses a stupid gun. Probably not everybody. Professional guys, I'm sure, use professional guns. But these $16 to $20 Harbor Freight high velocity, low pressure guns do a fantastic job. And I find them easy to clean. As some guy said, oh, no, you got to get the thing with the liners, and then you don't have to clean the gun. Well, I always have acetone, so cleaning the gun is not a big deal. It takes me a minute, a couple minutes, because I'm usually wiping it down as well, you know, the container. But it's just not a big deal, and I've never messed up the gun in the process. So, I'm thinking, my birthday's coming up another month or two. I should probably get myself a new gun for another. I'll wait for the sale for $15.99. I'm going to get me a new gun, by golly. And then I'll keep the old one for a spare gun. Then I'll have two. Actually, I already have two, but I don't have the same. So I need another cheap gun. That's what I'm going to do. Happy birthday, Tom, right there. Speaking of birthday, we'll talk about I've been looking at, every morning I check banjos. I check the world for banjos for sale. And the ones that always catch my eye are the ones that are made in the UK. Because the British took what we did around 1900 and made it more Victorian looking and kept doing it into the 1930s. And boy, there was one that came up this morning from 1920. And it was 83 pounds. And you know what? Them pounds ain't worth a whole heck of a lot of money. So I don't know. I might have, it could happen. Anyway, I think I've got four British banjos. Five would be good, wouldn't it? That's a nice round number. I'll think about it during the break. It is hot and cold. It's Saturday morning. I just want, oh, before I forget, let me tell you about my friends at General Appliance and Brewer, open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. One of the sponsors of this very program. Go over see them sometime on Center Street. Their phone number is 989-4341. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, they are the people to know. And they will help you if you want to do it yourself. And, you know, if you're listening to this show, you got to try it yourself. I know you are. So you might as well get a little bit of guidance, get the right parts, and make it all better. It is hot and cold. We'll be back in a bit. Stay with us.
Latch strings in on your bedroom door so you can't see who you've missed. Champagne going to the critics, a bath towel on your hips. Rhinestones shining in your bridge work, flashing in the floodlights glare. Mail order patent leather dancing boots, Vitalis in your hair. You're too much and I can't take it. I'm sorry, but I think I'll leave. Back to see an old drunk I know living on Railroad Street. Ready profile turned to the sunset and your image strapped in place. You memorize your ad-libs while you practice with your face. Wet rock chin point skyward, half shut eyes to the wind. Your part-time unemployed talent scouts tell me you're living in. You're a legend and let's face it, I'm sorry but I got to leave. I'm gonna hock my soul to the laundromat down on Railroad Street. Rubbed off every subtle hint of what you used to be. It's all right there in the 8x10 with a headline plain to see. You're handing out your goblets full of California wine to hold aloft in noisy prayer to the trophy on your shrine. You're too much and I can't hack it. I think I'd better leave. See some man about it all.
Saltine crackers, 10 cents a pound. Big balls in Cowtown, we'll all go down. Big balls in Cowtown, we'll dance around. Hey, come in, mama, the hogs done got me.
All right, we're back. 9:06, hot and cold Saturday morning. Bob Wills' song, Sleep at the Wheel. And I always kind of, it took me a while to get used to Bob Wills doing the ee-haw thing in the background, but man, it just fits with that music, doesn't it? All right, phone number is 1-800-966-1039, text 601-207-4478, text message. Pounds, what's the tariff on banjos? I'm afraid to ask. I don't know. It says if you go to checkout, they'll tell you import duties, which I guess would be another word for tariffs. But I have exercised restraint at this point. It's cheap enough that it's worth looking at, but, you know, maybe not. I got enough projects. But it is it's a good looking instrument. And God knows we need good-looking instruments. As a matter of fact, good-looking instruments, wait a minute. All you got to do is get on StocktonStrings.com and look at Tom Gosey banjos. That's all you got to do. Boy, do I make life simple for you out there in Radio Land. You're looking for a good-looking banjo. That's the place to go. And there will be more. There are plenty more coming. So you should check every day. You should check three times, no, two times a day, morning and night. That's when I work, or I work on it. And there will be more amazing things coming to that website. So, what would I? I'm reading a book about GM producing the EV1. I'm doing my annual reading of the book, and EV1 was electric car, first electric car GM has made in current years. This was like in the 90s, early 90s, and they were talking about they were burdened with a lot of stuff that electric vehicle makers are not burdened with now. The big one was batteries. These guys started out making this car. They were looking at using lead acid batteries in the cars, and it don't work. It does. I mean, you get a car and it moves and it's great. It'll go fast and slow and have regenerative braking. So when you hit the brake pedal, you regenerate energy and store it, but you don't have a lot of range because the batteries are big and heavy. They don't have a lot. They can't store a lot of energy. Of course, that's since changed with nickel metal hydride and now lithium batteries and beyond lithium to any number of other things that are in the works. And by the time they got to market, nickel metal hydride batteries, which filled the gap for a number of years, 15 years or so, longer than 15, no, 20 years. Did a good job. And so what happened was from lead acid batteries to nickel metal hydride, the amount of energy doubled for the same amount of weight. With lithium batteries going from lead acid to lithium, you actually have four times more energy storage. So, and that's how all these vehicles can do a couple 300 mile or more range. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to play with some numbers, because that's what we do. We play with numbers here on the radio and arithmetic. I came to realize after being in engineering school and having to know calculus and differential equations and trigonometry and the rest, much engineering, maybe most engineering for a lot of things, is arithmetic. And I've thrown these numbers out at you. I'm going to throw them out again, because they were in the book. They're talking about getting about 4 miles range for every kilowatt of energy, kilowatt hour. So stored in the batteries. And on a more efficient electric car, that number is about 250 watt hours per mile. So if you take that number and you start to you throw that around a little bit, electric car and a gas car use about the same amount of energy to get rolling and to get moving. So if you assume a gas car is, and electric cars and gas cars are basically going to use, and I'm really generalizing here, 250 to 350 watt hours per mile. So that'd be the equivalent of 2,500 watt light bulbs being illuminated for an hour would get you a mile down the road. Okay? So if the, at the time when they were doing this, which was in the early 90s, gas cars were about 15% efficient in that the energy in the gasoline that made it to the wheels that made the car move was about 15%. And maybe averaging 20 miles per gallon, something like that. So we fast forward to 2025. And, you know, a lot of gas cars are in the 30s. Not huge cars. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about an Escalade or something like that. I'm talking about a Corolla, Nissan Sentra, Honda Fit, those kind of cars, maybe a little bigger, maybe even to a Camry. And that efficiency's gone up from 15% to maybe, and just doing some rough calculations, maybe 25%. 23%, 25%, somewhere in that ballpark. The dilemma is when you're dealing with internal combustion engine, you generate a lot of waste heat. The waste heat is fantastic in the wintertime. We live in Maine. In May, in springtime, the waste heat is wonderful. It defrosts the windows, defogs the windows on a morning like this morning. And that has to come out of the battery pack on an electric vehicle. So that's a bit of an advantage. And internal combustion engines have generally been getting more efficient as time has gone on. But what really kind of, as I was playing with these numbers, and I was just, you know, got the calculator, pen, and I'm just looking at the numbers, seeing what made sense. How does this work? And there's a thing in between the electric car and, of course, the straight gas car, and that's the hybrid car. And the hybrid car really shines in this application because you don't have a huge battery, so you don't have a lot of weight with the battery, and it acts as a buffer, so the gas engine can go on and off a lot and make sure that you have ample energy to do all the things you want the car to do, but also get you great gas mileage. And you don't have to plug in. Some of them you do plug in. You can plug in. And I had this discussion with somebody yesterday. You know, a lot of plug-ins are plug-in hybrid cars get about 40 miles electric range. That probably is for me personally, that probably works out just about right. I found years ago before I was a car dealer, my buddy Ron Russell, who worked at Darling's at the time, made me an offer to do a thing with them where they were promoting their new hybrids. The Ford, this was 96, 97, something like that. They were doing a promotion on the new Ford Fusion and the C-Max. And they gave me a Ford Fusion hybrid to drive. And it was a plug-in. And I got about 20 miles range out of that plug-in. And I said, well, that ought to be it. You know, that's enough. I don't go anywhere during the week. I go to work. I go to the store to get lunch. I come back, post office. And I found that by noontime, I could shoot through that 20 miles without thinking hard. And then it ran as a hybrid, which was fine. But 40 miles was a better fit. And of course, if you live in town, it's less of an issue. But I don't live in town. I live in a spread out kind of town. So, but that's not bad. And at this point, you know, we're finding that the plug-in hybrids are getting amazing miles just as as hybrids, not as plug-ins where you're using the actual electric part of it at all, other than as a hybrid automobile. It's kind of interesting the way it's played out. And it's a, you know, until there is a truly impressive battery technology, and we certainly have some impressive battery technology, but there's no universal standard yet. I suspect there will be at some point, or at least brand specific standards that are affordable. And when that happens, the game is going to be a lot different. But anyway, so I threw numbers at you. That's what I did for the first 15 minutes of the hour. We're going to take a break. It is hot and cold. We'll be right back. We're back. It is 9:21. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. And let's see. We got a couple of text messages came in. First one, the important one, Stockton Strings won't load now. I'm on Bernunzio's Uptown Music, and I'm looking at a Corian banjo. Is that yours? Yes, it is. It says Stockton Strings on it, doesn't it? And I just loaded Stockton Strings. Stockton, like the town. Strings, like the town, but with a T instead of a P. .com. All one word, StocktonStrings.com. It's right there on the internet. I just looked at it. And won't you be pleased when you find it? I tell you what. Somebody also asked, Pounds, what is... Oh, we did the tariff thing. I don't have to worry about that. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. I don't know. Maybe I should just wait and see if the exchange rate gets better or worse or something. You know, anything could happen. Speaking of which, there's a phone call. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine. Hello?
Hi. So I have a comment about your banjo, and then I have a question about energy audits.
Okay.
So I'm a professional musician. I've been so for 45 years. Your banjo sounds great.
Oh, good. Thank you. I think it does.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could even tell over the radio. I was listening last week, and blew away all the others you were comparing it to. So I just wanted to make mention of that. It was a really nice sound.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. My question is, I got an old drafty house. Utility bills are killing me. And I'm pretty handy, but I don't know what to do. And so could you recommend, or, you know, locally, what do I do to have somebody bring somebody to the house and, you know, just take a walk around my house and give me some advice on what I can do to just make it not so drafty and leaky, and anybody help.
Okay. So the first step, the important step, is to have an energy audit done. I think you mentioned that. And because these are people who are trained to look at the house and show you all the weak points and triage it in terms of what is the most cost-effective, quickest return on your investment. And they also have the equipment to find those areas that are the problem. And that would be a couple of pieces of equipment energy auditors use. One is a thermal imaging camera. The other is a blower door. And what a blower door does is it evacuates the house. It sucks all the air out of the house. And in the process of doing that, they can go around with a thermal imaging camera and pinpoint all those holes where air is coming in. Perfect time to do it is winter, but you could do it any time of year. And generally, some companies actually will do the work. Other companies will just give you a report. And in terms of who to get, the best thing I can suggest is get on the Efficiency Maine website. They'll have a list of energy auditors licensed in the state. The CAP agencies, like Penquist CAP in Penobscot County, places like that, will do energy audits, and I believe are quite affordable. I think they have a sliding scale depending on your income. At any rate, it's worth a couple of phone calls and just to see where it's at and get somebody in.
Okay, and you said these were they were CAP agencies. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, the CAP agencies like Penquist and Bangor. I think there's one in Kennebec Valley as well. But they'll be on the list that is Efficiency Maine, along with a bunch of other private auditors. And you can just check around, see who's in your neighborhood, and get some numbers.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks. Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, it really is valuable to get somebody in who is an objective reviewer of your property to give you an idea what needs to be done. And then there's some pretty usually low-hanging fruit projects that don't cost a lot and would be a good first step. Let's see. Tom Stockton Strings loads on Chrome browser, but not on Firefox for me. It does for me, but that's okay. As long as you got it. Enjoy, as they say. I heard you use Ryobi tools. Would you prefer corded or cordless? I need some for home project. I have a corded drill, which is great. I do use Ryobi tools. I use cordless tools almost exclusively. If you're just going to use them once in a while, the least expensive, the brushless Ryobi cordless tools tend to be a better investment in terms of build quality. And I am quite impressed with the difference between the two. So that would be of interest to you, I'm sure. But the other suggestion I'll make is Home Depot always has sales. They may be having a sale now. I haven't been in a couple of weeks to see. A good basic starter set on sale gets you there, gets you a battery or two and a charger. But then you can get on eBay, and many times people are selling new Ryobi tools without batteries, without chargers. And you can easily get on back on the Home Depot website and see if it's worth the savings. A lot of times it is. So that might help you. Anyway, we got to hit this machine right here. And advise you, isn't necessarily a bad moon rising when Pete's on the radio, but it could be. I don't know. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Great. It's going to rain, and then it's going to rain, but then it's going to rain some more.
Well, at least it's not snow, right?
And it's kind of a bad moon rising.
I've seen snow first week of May before.
Yeah. Well, true. Yeah. So, anyway, what do you got going on?
Well, here's the thing. I went to the doctor's this week for a checkup.
Uh-oh.
Right? For the annual physical checkup, make sure you're okay, right?
Yeah.
Now, the most medical thing that took place, if you picture medical stuff, was they drew blood for the, doing your annual blood test.
Right.
Otherwise, I timed it. I was in the room. I was in there for 15 minutes with the doctor.
Yeah.
The doctor asked me questions. I asked the doctor questions. Doctor checked me for lumps and bumps. This is not a reflection of the care I received, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's about the value. So the most medical thing we did was draw blood. The blood drawing was $17.
That's a deal.
How much, sans insurance, without insurance, I was self-pay. How much do you think a 15-minute Q&A physical with a doctor costs? I know you know because I've been ranting about it most of the week. I'm asking metaphorically to the listening audience. So that costs $333.
Well, that's only $1,400 an hour.
Usually self-pay is discounted, which means they're billing your insurance. If I had insurance, they would have billed the insurance even more. Again, that's not a reflection of the people in that office. It's the billing department within the for-profit healthcare system.
Right.
So they're billing that doctor out at $1,200 to $1,400 an hour. They're billing that doctor out at about $2.5 million a year, which means if there's four providers in that office, they're billing out the care in that office at $10 million a year minimum.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. The thing of it is like, I know that there's stuff that's expensive. I know that being a doctor or any healthcare professional requires a lot of education, so you got to pay them well. But I know they're not getting all that money. I know they're not getting. Here's the thing: I don't understand why it has to be all or nothing with our healthcare system. It's like the argument is either, well, we have to figure out who's going to pay the insurance, and we'll continue to make it. It'll continue to be hugely expensive, or it's we got to make it free. Why can't it just be like it was in like 1985, where you could pay? It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't, you're going to get your lights shut off, trying to pay your medical bills.
Yeah.
And I can pay the $350 total that it was. I can handle that. But the point is, like, somebody with four kids and no insurance, and I know there's programs and help for situations like that, but, how many people get sick or even die because they don't go to the doctor because they can't afford to find out nothing is wrong? So they don't go and find out what is wrong because you can't afford to go. And I'm thinking about not going for a physical next year, $350. I'll chance it. That's a car payment. That's a nice car payment.
Yeah, but you don't have a car payment.
No, I know. I'm responsible that way. But,
well, yeah.
I just wanted to rant a little bit about the fact that it was that much money just to, like, for basically a Q&A. You know, and they should listen to my lungs and heart and check my abdomen for the weird lumps and bumps they look for. But, you know, it just seems like an awful lot of money for not a lot of time, you know.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll tell you what. I'll mull that one over for a second while we take a break. And when we come back,
I filled that whole segment.
You did. You filled almost a whole segment here. It's kind of impressive. You do.
I got some more when we get back. Not to do with that. Different topic.
Oh, dear God. Heaven help us. It's hot and cold Saturday morning, 9:31. Pete's here. Oh, my goodness. What a great day. We'll be right back. Back 9:36, and if there's one guy who enjoys Herbie Ding Dong, it would be Pete.
You like Herbie Ding Dong? Is that his name?
The guy's name is Herbie Ding Dong.
Like his born name is Herbie Ding Dong?
Probably, yeah.
That's wild.
Not really,
man,
I'm sure.
Weird.
I'm sure that's not the case. So, you got more stuff you got to rave about? We're not done.
Stop giving panhandlers stuff.
I don't give panhandlers.
Stop giving them money. Stop giving them food. Not you. Everybody. Yeah, I'm talking about the people that give them things. Stop doing that. Right? I'm driving through Bangor. I kid you not, I saw 6 panhandlers. I counted, and one I'm pretty sure hooker. All right? This is not working. If you're, I know you want to be good, and you want to give them something. You want to give them a bag of McDonald's, but then they got the McDonald's, right? And then the $5 they get, they don't need to spend it on food because they got the food. They're going to spend the $5 on exactly what you think they're going to. Stop giving them food, stop giving them money, stop giving them needles, and watch them dissipate. It's not working. I don't like, you know, you can't drive around Bangor without seeing 15 dusty skeletons wandering around. I don't like it. It's sad, okay. It's terrible, I don't think it's a good thing, but I'm getting sick of it. It's you know, because you got kids walking down the street.
Okay.
You know, and then, all right.
Calm down.
Okay, all right. I'm going to say more about the panhandlers.
Deep breaths. Square breathing is what you need to do, I think.
Let's talk about rust.
Okay.
Now, I did have an interesting thought the other day. I was in our lot. I was walking by, and I smelled sea air, right?
Yeah.
It was a sunny day. The wind was blowing. I could smell that sea breeze. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about what is the ambient salinity of the air on the in any coastal area, you know?
Well, that's a good question. I think it varies a lot, and I have seen some cars from different areas in our region, and they've turned to nothing. And other cars just look fine. And,
the metallurgy of the car comes into play there because, it, you know, recycled seals.
I think it also has to do with how the car is maintained in terms of washing, in terms of undercoating, and where you're driving and how you're driving. You know, are you getting... If you're, let's say you're at a place like Newbury Neck, you're on a peninsula out in
where is that?
It's in Surrey.
Okay.
Pete, don't go there. But you're near the ocean. maybe there's a dirt driveway that you're going down, and maybe salt spray is coming up into that, and so the what you're getting a higher salinity in the puddles in that driveway than you are if you're on a main road, if it were, or you're on a dirt road, excuse me, and inland a bit. I suspect that has a role to play. But generally, the humidity, I think if you're living on the water, you know, you've got high tide, low tide, you got a lot of humidity, some, maybe some salt air, and it all has a role to play. But I think that maybe the humidity has more to do than the salt, but it's certainly, it's one of those things. It's a lot of variables to consider, and I don't think we can have a definitive, nobody's done a definitive study. That would be a great study for somebody to do in a state like Maine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe if you're going to do something, you know, don't necessarily do it for free. So if somebody within the state government would like to, you know, make a ministry of salt and road effects, rust on vehicles, and have somebody head that up that has good ideas like this.
Well,
you know, we could set up experiments. Right, we could have a test facility right on the coast of Maine. I would get to the bottom of all this, and then we would find alternative answers to protecting our vehicles.
You sound like a bureaucrat.
It would be mostly a do-nothing position, right?
You know, okay.
The sort of thing where I get like $750,000 a year,
well,
and I'd find no definitive results.
All right.
But
well,
I think I'd be good at it.
Somebody's just sent a message in. Tell Pete to run for Congress. Then he'll get the Golden Parachute health care program coverage that Congress took for themselves but passed Obamacare on to us, which turned out to be a train wreck. So.
Oh, you mean that thing where we were all required by law to buy insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that was a good solution.
Yeah. Okay, so just to digress, because you do tend to go off the tracks a bit.
I'm getting worked up.
Somebody sent a message. I bought a 2022 Nissan Leaf. Have been pretty happy with its range and performance. That is a good car. You know, if somebody talks to me about electric cars, I think a newer Nissan Leaf is, and you have to shop it for the range, because they obviously, as they get newer, they have higher range. Those are cars that have proven themselves, that are affordable, even if the battery has to be replaced. You're not talking about obscene amount of money to replace the battery. Granted, it's not a big
batteries
car.
Batteries don't cost more than the car.
But what the dealer failed to tell me, that when charging at home, do not use an extension cord with the charging cable. I think it's in the manual, but, you know, yeah. Yeah, I went out to pull the plug out and practically burned myself. Cord end is permanently deformed. Yeah, you never use an extension cord on a plug-in 110. Really, on any plug-in charger cable for an electric car, they're just not made for the. And that's in the manuals. Unfortunately, people don't always see that.
Well, the cords, I mean, replacing cables aren't the most expensive thing.
They're not. So they're quite affordable.
That's a positive.
And they're quite substantial. So you're not dealing with something. I got another. Okay, I got one. Come on. The mouse on this computer is going to drive me crazy. Please don't stop your son when he goes on a rant. It's the highlight of every show. I think that depends on your point of view. And if you don't have to listen to him 5 or 6 days a week,
that's
probably
true.
Is a highlight for you out there in Radio Land, as opposed to me, who is in the office with him for every day. But then I can go out to the shop, so the rant goes away for a little while, or Pete goes
Sometimes
away.
That's the whole point, is to get you to go out into the shop.
And it does work. Before we get too far, we've got a whole...
These are my tame rants, too.
Yeah, today he's calm, so he's not... And she didn't give you any medication for your rants.
Nope.
Okay. Nothing to keep you calm. Let's just touch on what you got out for sale this week that wasn't out for sale last week.
I put out 3 cars yesterday.
Okay.
A couple of 3 of them. What did we put out? There was a there's a Prius C, a 2017 Prius C, with I believe 141K on it.
Yep.
That's very nice. I put out a 2018 RAV4, 169K. Runs like an absolute top. That's beautiful. That's a wonderful vehicle.
That is a nice car.
What was the other one? There was another one that went out. So everybody buckle up, all right? We've got a Tacoma. It's a 2009. It's got about, I think, 180K on it. runs good, drives good, as you would expect. The problem with this Tacoma is it's got a rusty frame to the degree that as it sits, it won't pass inspection. It can, as I understand it from speaking to my guy, it can be fixed, and it'll pass inspection. Excuse me. But it's one of those ones where we're not sure how far down the road before it has you need more work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not undercoated. You can come and you can crawl around underneath it and take a look at it and see what you think. It's a great shade tree truck. Take it home, you weld it, you undercoat it, you have your guy inspect it. It's one of those things where I'd be a little bit uncomfortable selling it for full tick, inspected, ready to go, and not really, most cars I can look at and say, I don't see any issue with this car hitting inspection this year, next year, year after that, you know. Mechanical things are different, stuff wears out, but as far as rust goes. So this would be, it's a great opportunity to get very nice, by the way. It's black. It's got the scooped hood. It's got not the double cab, but the extended cab, so it's not too long.
Mm.
And I think we've got it up for $59.95 plus tax.
I got to get underneath the vehicle, took a bunch of photos. They are on our website. And it actually looks reasonable. But
it's not like we're not pushing it into the ocean.
No,
it's not dead. It's
not broken. It doesn't have gaping holes in it. But there's a couple areas where there's one area, and we can show you exactly where it is, in between front and rear wheel on the passenger side, that there's two pieces that come together, and they're just corroding in between the two pieces. For us to do it, I got to pay somebody a fair bit of money to weld it up. And then we have the potential risk that if, God forbid, it comes back, if they go to inspect it a year or two from now and something is turned to junk, I'm gonna have an issue. I don't want to have that issue.
If you're a welder,
you can do it yourself. If you're comfortable with this, I think it's an easy fix. I think it's stable. It's quite stable right now. I suspect the right person looking at it would almost sticker it, but we're not going to do it. It just isn't worth it. It's worth more just to let it go for what we have in it, and you get a great deal. And we don't have to think about it anymore. But it is the body is absolutely pretty much perfect. There is no rust on the body.
Clean truck. Yeah.
It's just the frame, and you need to see it. And you know, you're welcome to. It's not parked on the pavement right now, but we'll certainly move it on the pavement. We'll give you a creeper, and you can crawl all underneath it and take a look. It's high enough off the ground you can get right underneath it. What fun on a rainy day.
And it is where it is as is. You can drive it around our lot. You can't take it on the road because it's not inspected. But it does run and drive fine. We've driven it around a bunch. We drove it to the mechanic and back, and we're dealers, so we're allowed to do that sort of thing. But in state laws, when you purchase an as-is vehicle, it has to be towed off the lot. Can't drive it off. You can have it towed off the lot and then drive it from your house to wherever you want to go in it. But
right.
If it leaves this lot, it would have to be towed. We can help set that up, too. We know all the guys with tow trucks.
Yeah. And we have another one.
That one's not quite ready yet.
What's not ready?
The Tacoma.
The other Tacoma's done.
She said it was not.
No, she told me yesterday, end of the day, it was done.
Now she told me it's not done. At any rate, okay, so we've got another one. I'll tell the story anyway. It's a 2011. It's a V6 double cab, all-wheel drive. This one's solid. This one's inspected.
It's got a newer frame.
Yeah, it's got a newer frame. New rear bumper, new front brake pads, new exhaust manifold. That one's been undercoated. Fresh inspection, passed with flying colors, fresh oil.
New headlights and taillights, too.
On that one?
Yes. I put them in.
Got new headlights and taillights, apparently. I was unaware of that, so that's not even on the cut sheet. So it's $12,995. 13K, you can drive away in a Tacoma.
Yeah.
So we got the silver Tacoma. It's basically ready. It's almost ready. So silver 2011 Tacoma is almost ready. Beautiful 2018 RAV4 is out. Very nice 2017 Prius C. I think that's all the new ones for this week. But you can see our whole stock online at Prius.store, just www.prius.store, or check it out on Facebook. Just hop on Marketplace and look up, you know, any you know, Toyota Stockton Springs will pop up.
So I would double check with Maria just to make sure. I'm pretty sure she told me yesterday it was done. She was detailing it. The car's ready to run. She was cleaning it. I think she's done cleaning it.
Yep.
So we've been cranking them out this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I got a plan because we sold my friend Tom the white. We're selling him the white Tundra, which is my favorite truck. I want to paint the other Tundra white.
No.
Okay. You talked me out. I don't want to paint it white. I thought about it. I could paint it white, and then I got my white Tundra again. But it's a lot of work. I'm not sure I'm ready for that one.
I don't know if we want to do that. I'm not even sure this is the truck that we should keep for ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a big plow, and I think we need a plow somewhere in between our current plow and that plow.
Yeah. Somebody sent a message not commenting on Congress's performance, but to say they get free health care is a false statement. They pay health insurance premiums, same as any federal employee, approximately $500 a month for the family plan. Well, I don't think anybody.
Right, yeah, but they got all that insider trading and stuff, and all the glad handing, the back slapping. They're all making millions. $500 a month is nothing to them.
Yeah, $500 a month is a deal.
I'm trying to elbow my way into that thing. You know what I mean? Trust me, guys. Vote me in. I won't get absorbed by the machine. I'll take it down from the inside. And that is a lie.
Okay.
I'll sit out there all, with my brandy glass, looking at the plebeians as they drive by.
Okay. Yep. That never mind. Calm down, Tom.
Oh, you know what?
What?
In the category of civil servants who do an outstanding job, there was a fire in Stockton Springs this week.
Oh yeah.
I believe it was on Tuesday. Big fire, house fire. People got out okay. A couple of pets didn't. But it was one of those multiple departments dropped in. And they all you know, showed up and dropped into that perfect synchronous orbit, and they got the fire under control and put out to the degree, like, the building is still standing. The building's going to have to come down, sure.
Yeah.
But the building is still standing. Like, they got, I mean, it was a big fire.
It was.
And they got that under control like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're blessed in our area with multiple very high-performance fire departments who when the going gets rough, they're there, and they put out, and literally, figuratively, do a great job.
It is impressive. If you drive by and you see that building, like, one half of it is charred to the point that you're surprised any part of that building is still standing. Like, when I walked up the street and looked at it, you know, the ceiling, you know, you could see the roof trusses. Yeah, because it was just, you know, the roof was gone on that side, and it was on fire. There were still flames going, and they got it out and under control to the point that the other side of the building, you can tell it was in a fire, but it's nowhere near as bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a raging inferno at some point.
It was.
They put it right out.
It took off really fast, and when they got there, it was pretty much that one end that shows at the street was fully engulfed. Yep. I mean, it was horrible. As one who has witnessed a fire of his property, it wasn't my home, thank goodness. It was tough to see. And we survived reasonably well, all things considered. But it's a rough one for the family. There is a GoFundMe site up for them as well. So,
So kudos to all the fire departments in this area.
Yeah. As always, they did another great job putting out a big one.
And they are all volunteer, I believe. I think everybody's volunteer fire departments.
Yep.
Kudos to them.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. Pete's going to be around.
I'll raise their budgets.
Okay. That'd be good. I'm sure they'd appreciate that. You're going to be around till 3 o'clock today.
Yes, sir. I'll be here till 3. You can come by and check out any of the cars, even the Tacoma that were confused as to whether it's ready or not. I'll let you drive it. I don't care.
the 11, the not as is one,
that one you can come by and take a good spin, and black one you can drive it around the lot,
okay,
get a feel for it, right, see that it runs and all that.
Did we sticker that one yet?
I guarantee
They love
the silver one. I don't think so.
Okay, we got to do that.
But the RAV4 and the Prius C are both stickered as well. Those are both really nice. I don't think that RAV, if you're in the market for a RAV4, I don't think that one's going to last very long. And it is an 18.
Mm.
So,
yeah. And if you do come and look at it, you don't talk to Pete. There is a hole in the windshield. We have a replacement windshield coming beginning of the week.
There's a nick in the windshield, and it's just, it actually, believe it or not, does pass inspection like that, but we're going to replace it anyway because it's sort of right in the eye line. So
it's big enough hole that it's it will not heal itself.
Do they usually?
No.
No.
And this ain't starting now. You can light candles, you can do whatever you want. We did put some adhesive on it just to, so it doesn't go any further. It's just so Randy can get it out when he puts the new one in. Not that it would break into pieces, but it is a really nice one. You picked that out.
Yeah.
You picked out that
Speaking
one.
Speaking of which, if you need windshield replacements, Newberg Glass, that's the place.
He's not taking new customers. He's too busy.
Never mind. He's too busy with our stuff. Forget it.
You could try him, but he told me the other, he was in this week, right? Yeah, we had one done.
Yeah, he was in this week. We had to do the Corolla.
Corolla that we're getting ready. So, all right. Well, we're out of time, Pete.
And all right, kids.
We got a couple of rants in. We got three new cars, four new cars, and Pete's running for
with a sense of efficiency when I get on the air.
Yeah, Pete's running for Congress, so it's all good. Pete, you take care. We'll see you in a little bit. Everybody, enjoy. Have a good week. If you're a duck, you're really going to be happy.
One little miracle a day is all I need. T. Rubble's more or less be all the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of me.